I said this before and I'll say it again. If you can line up all the lost people in the world today, all the lost people in the world today, in a single file, starting at your front door, it would circle the world at least 30 times. The lost people. At least 30 times. Circle the whole world now. I'm talking about the earth itself. 30 times. There's that many people out there. That's unreal. You know as well as I know, the people that you confront, wherever you are, majority of people that you confront are lost. They're lost. Thank God for those that you confront that are saved. That's encouraging to you. It really is. But majority of people are lost. And it's sad, but that's where we stand today. We've been talking about the importance of witnessing. Why is it important to witness? First of all, it's important to witness because of the command of Christ. Christ has commanded us to witness. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he says. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be my what? Witnesses. My witnesses. Starting at Jerusalem, going to the uttermost parts of the world. We shall be witnesses to the Christ. So we see that witnessing is important because of the command of Christ. We also see that witnesses is important because of the condition of the unsaved people. The condition of an unsaved person. An unsaved person has to come to reality. They're lost. And they're going, if they ever die, they go to hell. They have to come to that point, but they are not at that point yet. Their life is empty. They're void. They have no direction. They have no purpose of living. All these things we talked about. But they haven't realized yet they're lost. You know, I had to get lost before I got saved. I don't know about you. I had to realize if I was going to die, I'd go to hell. And when I realized that, I saw my need to be saved. Thank God that people love me enough to care enough to talk to me. Talk to me. And by the way, if it weren't for a witness, you and I wouldn't be here today, probably. We wouldn't be, well, I know we wouldn't be saved, but we probably wouldn't be alive. We don't know what would be. So witnessing is very important because of the command of Christ, because of the condition of the unsaved, and also because of the sin of silence. If our gospel be hid, who's it hid to? Them that are lost. Them that are lost. Remember we said in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17, Paul wrote there, how are they going to call unless they believe? How are they going to believe unless they hear? How are they going to hear without a witness? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So we see also here the sin of silence. What a shame it is to live a life as a Christian and never tell somebody about Christ, folks. Do we really love Jesus? If we do, I think we'll be telling somebody, somehow, somewhere, the good news, you know? So I just can't talk. Well, get a tract. Put a tract in somebody's hand. You know, ask them to read it, you know? And so as you begin to put out tracts, God gives you more courage, you know? And the Holy Spirit helps you. By the way, again, we've said so many times, if it were not for the Holy Spirit, none of us could do it anyway. He's our helper. He's our strength. So we've been talking about the importance of witnessing, how it is. We are obligated as believers to witness. We're to be faithful in witnessing. No matter what we may have to face, maybe the conditions that we have to go through, we're still to be faithful. We're not to let things that confront us while we are witnessing stop us from witnessing. And sometimes that's where we fail as believers. You know, somebody say something to humiliate you, to embarrass you. You want to quit. I do. Do you? I do. But we can't quit. We've got to keep on going. We've got to keep on going. Also, even if somebody threatens your life, you keep on going. You know, don't just stop. Because Satan's going to use every tart, everything he can, every snare he can to stop us from witnessing. And we need to continue to do that in our life. You know, that's what God wants. That's why we're here. That's why we're here today. So, again, we need to be encouraged in this thing of witnessing because it's so important in our lives. It'll make you a better Christian, make me a better Christian, just by witnessing, talking to people. This past week, of course, the weather's been bad for a number of days, but we decided we'd go It was raining. They went visiting. We said, I would go to the nursing home. Now, folks, if you want God to get a hold of your neck and get a hold of your heart, just go to a nursing home and just try to visit and try to witness to people. You try to witness to a person that all he can do is nod his head and smile. You know? And you stand there and you wonder, I wonder if that man is really comprehending what I'm saying. I wonder if this guy is really saved. And here he is in a state of life, physically, mentally, that you just question where he is or not. What do you do? All they ought to do is just present the plan of salvation to him anyway. You know? And God knows his heart. God knows his mind. And the man nods, I'm a Christian. Well, praise God and go on. You know? If you don't, well, you know, you just present it. That's all you can do. And, you know, there's a number of people out there that you talk to that you wonder about. We went to one guy and went by a room, and the guy was sitting in a wheelchair right beside his bed. We stopped and talked to him. We went in there and started talking to that gentleman. He had palsy and all that. And we began to talk to him. And he was talkative. He could talk and all that and all. And I talked to him about the Lord. And he said he went to such and such a church. You know, and we said, well, we go to the Baptist church, but that don't make us saved. You know, you had to trust Christ as your Savior. You know, we began to present the plan of salvation to him. Went through the Romans Road with him. I said, wouldn't you like to pray? He said, yeah, I would. And I said, okay, you go ahead and pray. And this is a man that's got palsy in the rest home. I never heard such a prayer. Asking God to forgive him. Asking God to forgive him. All his sins. I mean, it's kind of like the thief on the side of Jesus, you know. It wasn't a long prayer. But it was enough. It was enough. If he meant business in what he said, God saved him. And where he did or not, I don't know. It's between him and God. But it's just my business, it's my obligation, I should say, to go tell. And once I do that, it's in God's hands. What God wants to do with it, see? Because if it weren't for the Spirit of God speaking to that person, those people, nothing will be accomplished anyway. What I say is vain. What I say is vain. But I'm glad today to know that we have the opportunity to go. We have the opportunity to speak and to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles this morning to a very familiar passage, Luke chapter 19. You've heard this story since you were 3 or 4 years old. We want to deal with this today, and we're going to pray now and ask God to help us as we talk about witnessing. We're going to look at the example of a witness. We're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ being a witness. There's many examples in the Word of God where he was, but I want to look at this particular one today, and may the Lord help us to realize that if our Savior was a witness, and he was, much more so should we be. We should also be a witness to it. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for the day. Thank you for this time we have together. Thank you for the precious Word of God, Lord, to instruct us, to teach us, to guide us, Lord, in our lives as your children. Lord, we need help today. We live in a world, Lord, that don't want to hear. But Lord, we need you to help us. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us, Lord, to be able to present to these people in this world what they need to hear. God, I pray today as we look at your word, look at the example of Jesus himself, Lord, you might help us, Lord, to learn from him, Lord, how we are to also witness like he did. Thank you, dear God, for this time. Thank you for everyone that's come here today. Have your will and way now in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, this text here, it summarizes the message of the gospel of the book of Luke. It summarizes the gospel of the book of Luke. We see it stresses the seeking and the saving Savior. The seeking and the saving. Saving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very familiar text, of course. We see it's about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. We've heard that song all our lives, and that's true. But I want us to notice some things in this passage of Scripture today. First of all, There are three things here. There's a short man, there's a tall tree, and there is a seeking Savior. A short man, a tall tree, and a seeking Savior in this passage today. Now let's notice in verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now where is Jesus located at this time? He's at Jericho. Now where is Jericho? We see this is in the Jordan Valley, about 8 miles from the Dead Sea and about 6 miles from the Jordan. This is where Jesus, this is a very busy place. A lot of people are here in Jericho at this time. So Jesus is passing through Jericho here. Now, Jesus, when he was here on this earth, no matter where he went, he had a plan, he had a purpose where he went. He didn't waste any time. He didn't waste any time at all while he was here on this earth in his ministry for 3.5 years. He was very busy. And what he did was to please his Father as he was here in his ministry time. So we see in verse number 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, here we have Jesus in Jericho. He's passing through Jericho, and also now we have a man named Zacchaeus, who was a what? He was a publican. He was the chief of the publican, and the Bible says he was very rich. Now, we know that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a tax collector. Now, none of us like tax collectors, do we? None of us do. But we see sometimes tax collectors take advantage of people sometimes, don't they? They get things from them they shouldn't get. And see, so he was well known in this town. Zacchaeus was in this town of Jericho. He was known by everybody, no doubt, because everybody had to confront him, you know, concerning their taxes. And therefore, if we find here, he was a publican, he was a rich man. He was a tax collector, the Bible says here in verse number 2. So he was there with a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now notice something about Zacchaeus here. And he sought to see who? Jesus. Who he was and could not for the press because he was little stature. We see here the place was Jericho, the publican was Zacchaeus, and now we see who he was. Again, he was a rich man. What he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was there. Zacchaeus, no doubt, had probably heard about Jesus before. Now he hears he's in town. He says, this is my time. This is my time to see who I always wanted to see. I want to see Jesus. I want to see him. And notice he said he was a little man. In a crowd, a little people have a hard time seeing, don't they? Have a hard time seeing. And so therefore we find here he had a solution to what he did here. What he wanted to do, he wanted to see Jesus. Notice the seeker here. The sinner is Zacchaeus. Okay? He's a seeker also. He is a seeker. He's seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice in verse number 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. No doubt, Zacchaeus had strategies to know which way Jesus was going. But most important of all, Jesus knew where Zacchaeus was going. He knew where he was going to be. So Zacchaeus ran in front of the crowd, got in a sycamore tree, and waited for Jesus to pass by. Waited for Jesus to pass by. Remember? The short man, the tall tree, okay? Here's Zacchaeus, the short man, here's the tall tree. He gets up in a sycamore tree and waiting for the Lord to come by. He wants to see Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. My, he's urgent, isn't he? He really is urgent. That's what he wanted to do. Now, notice here what happens here in verse number 5. And when Jesus came to the place, where's the place? At the tree. Came by the tree. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him. Notice, he looked up, he saw him, and he said unto him. He looked up, he saw him, and said unto him. No, what did he say? Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. First of all, we see that Jesus came. He came where Zacchaeus was. I'm glad today that Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, came to where I was one day. He came to where I was. I was lost and undone, without hope, without help in my life. But Jesus came to me. Like Jesus came to Zacchaeus at the tree. He came at the foot of the tree there where he was. He knew he was there. And we see here he came. First of all, then we see he called. He called upon Zacchaeus. He came, he looked up, he saw him, and he said to Zacchaeus, make haste. He called Zacchaeus. I'm glad today to know that not only did Jesus come to where I was one day, but he called. He called my name. He called me. He spoke to me by the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God. He called my name out and wanted me to hear and know that he loved me and he would save me if I'd come forward. I'm glad to know that Jesus works this way. He works individually. He works on individuals. Here is Zacchaeus, one man in a tree and a crowd of people there. And here he is dealing with one person, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus and all that crowd, you see. So we see he came, he called. Now notice the requirement. Jesus says in the last part of this verse, verse number 5, make haste and come down. Make haste and come down. You know, for today I must abide at thy house. I remember the day when the Lord came to me. Of course, he came to me many times, but today I got saved especially. When he came to me that day and spoke to my heart, he literally, not verbally, but I could just feel that he was saying to me, Keith, this is your day. You need to get saved today. If you don't get saved today, you won't get another chance. I'll never forget that. And because he spoke to me, because he called me, and because he required me to come that day I stepped out by faith and trusted Christ as my Savior. Now here's Zacchaeus, he's in a tree. Jesus comes by and he stops and calls him out, tells him to come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus, today is your day. Today is the day that I want to do something great for you, do something wonderful for you and your house. Not just Zacchaeus, but his whole house. Here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity that Jesus gave Zacchaeus. And we notice in verse number 6 the response. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus came down hastily. I don't know how you come down hastily from a tree unless you jump, but he came down fast. You know? He came down fast and he rejoiced. He rejoiced because of the fact that Jesus had come by now and spoke to him individually, called him out individually. I'm so glad that Jesus calls individuals. Aren't you? We can be in this church be packed down with people, and preach a message, and somebody get under conviction, and one person can come and trust Christ as their Savior because Jesus calls them out. All the rest of us. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how God can meet everybody's need through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. If it's being saved, if you've got burdens, heartaches, and troubles you're going through, whatever you're facing in life, there's always God has an answer. He has an answer for us. Here's Zacchaeus. He's a publican. He's lost. He's a thief, no doubt. But yet here we find he wanting to see Jesus. Wanting to see Jesus. And here we find him, Jesus running, going to where he is, calling him out, telling him what he needs to do. And he came down, the Bible says in verse number 6, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Joyfully. No doubt at this time, Zacchaeus was a happy man because he's getting the chance now to be with Jesus. But you always got the mockers. You always got the people that's going to question, why in the world this happened? Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, and when they saw it, who is they? That's all the other publicans and all the people that are there. When the crowd, the press, as the Bible says, when they saw it, they all what? Murmured. They murmured, saying, notice, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a what? Sinner. Let me ask you something. Who did Jesus come to seek and save? Sinners. Sinners. The crowd mocked. Now, hey, what in the world is Jesus doing with this sinner? Well, that was his ministry. That was his calling. For sinners. For sinners. You know, that's why he came. So we see here the people here, they murmured and they began to mock and complain. Why in the world are you going to a sinner's house? Look at verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. To me, that's a sign of a true broken heart. Amen. Sinner. Zacchaeus standing in the maw of people, publicans and sinners that he knew, they knew him. No doubt that he had been dealing with them for years because he was a tax collector. Zacchaeus knew his heart. He knew when he had done wrong, what he had done wrong. And here he is standing in the midst of all those people with Jesus standing there with him. And said, Lord, if I've done wrong, I want to pay. You know, I'll pay what I've done wrong. Anything I've taken from somebody, I'm willing to give back to them fourfold. Folks, that's a sign of something taking place down here. Not just here, but down here. You know, when we're willing to admit that we've done wrong. By the way, that's what God wants us to do anyway. As a broken heart, we want to admit that we've done wrong and make it right with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the people. The people murmured him, mocked Jesus, murmured at him. But we see the promise. Look at verse number 9. And Jesus said unto him, the promise here, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. That day, that instant, that Zacchaeus confronted the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 8, says, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man, by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That second, that moment, we find that Jesus said, Zacchaeus got saved. He got saved in his house because of his confession. You know, I'm so glad today to know that it doesn't take a long prayer. It just takes a sincere heart to call upon the Lord, to admit that we're sinners, and ask Him to forgive us. And it's done. It's done. It's done and sealed. It's over with. For He's concerned, for we're concerned, it's over with. And we find this is what happened here to Zacchaeus. The promise here we find in verse number 8, the pardon we find in verse number 9. And then we find verse number 10, the very important verse, folks. Look at verse number 10. It says, For the Son of Man is come to what? Seek and what? Save that which was lost. Jesus came on the scene here in Jericho. He came to seek who? Zacchaeus. He came to save who? Zacchaeus. He came to seek and to save Zacchaeus. He had Zacchaeus on his mind that day. And the Bible says not only Zacchaeus got saved, but his house got saved because of this visit from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we see here the program is to seek. Jesus came to seek. That means to go about. To go about. Jesus didn't come and stay in one place. Jesus went about. He went about seeking, 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 seeking. You know? He went about seeking. It means to desire. It means to endeavor, to inquire, to seek. Jesus came to seek. He came looking me. He came looking you. When he hung on the cross and died, he was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. When he walked on this earth, he was thinking about us. He was thinking about everybody that would ever be born on this earth. He was seeking, 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 seeking. All the time, he was seeking. There's many occasions in the Word of God we can look at where Jesus was a soul winner. Remember when Jesus stood by Jacob's well? The Samaritan woman come by after some water. You know what happened? Jesus was seeking her. He was seeking her. He knew she was going to come there. And he wanted her to be saved. Wanted her to be saved. She got saved gloriously. Went into town and told everybody what happened to her. See, he's always seeking. He's always seeking. There's not a time, I really believe it's all marked, there's not a time when the Word of God is open to be taught, to be preached, or just to share with somebody, then Jesus is seeking. He's seeking that person we're talking to. that person that's listening, that person that's in our presence. He's always seeking, seeking, seeking. What is he telling us? He's telling us we ought to always be what? Seeking. We ought to always be going about. Going about, that's seeking. Desiring the opportunity, folks, to talk to somebody about the Lord. I guarantee you, if you'll pray and ask God to give you an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus, you'll be surprised at how many opportunities you have. I mean, he'll just open the gate. He'll open the gate for you if you'll just ask God to give you the opportunity. And sometimes he gives us an opportunity where we ask it or not. You know? So we ought to always be seeking. It's like Jesus came to seek. He came to seek. We're here to seek. I'm saved, you're saved. Most people in this, probably this room is saved. And because of that, we ought to always be seeking. Seeking the opportunity. Seeking somebody to talk to them. Brother Tower, don't you still have dogs, do you? Those run rabbits. Sometimes you say, seek them, don't you? Seek them. Get them. My brother used to raise beagles and have dogs, hound dogs, all kinds of dogs. Many times he said, seek them, Fanny, or whatever the dog's name was, you know? Seek them. But listen, if you're saved today, and I'm saved today, we ought to seek them. You know? Find them. They're out there. Listen, you don't have to go far to find them. Everywhere you go, you can find them. And we ought to be seeking them. Jesus came to seek. If he came to seek, we are here to what? Seek also. May the Lord help us to do that. The program here is to go here and to seek. He says in verse number 10, for the Son of Man, who is the Son of Man? It's Jesus Christ. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. Do you know anybody's lost? All of us do. May the Lord help us to be able to have a desire to seek them. And ask the Holy Spirit to give us the words to say that we might somehow, God may somehow use us as a tool, as a vessel to witness to them. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. We notice here the condition of the sons of men, the case of the sons of men. Everybody from Adam to today is lost. As a human being, we're lost. The sons of men are lost. The whole race of mankind as one body by the fall are lost people. Are lost people. And we need to realize this. We're like a traveler who's lost his way. We're like a sick man who's been diagnosed with an incurable disease. We're lost. We're as a prisoner that's been sentenced. A sentence has been passed upon us. And that sentence is what? We're sinners. And we're lost. We have no hope. We have no hope. The sons of men are in bad shape. The sons of men cannot help themselves. But thank God he had a plan. He had a plan. No doubt the Father and the Son were having a conversation. I don't know what took place. I'm just saying this. But you know, they looked down upon the human race and they said, all these people, you know, they're just lost and undone. They don't love me. I created them. I give them this earth to live on. They don't care nothing about me. What are we going to do? You know, I don't know what happened. But I just can sometimes visualize in my mind. Jesus looked over to the Father. He said, Father, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go and I'll die for these people. I love them. I'll give my life for them. Father, send me. Send me. I'll go. I'll pay their debt because I love them. I love them. My, what a Savior. What a God. God had a plan for the lost. Jesus came from heaven down to earth. That's a long way, folks. He came to seek and to save us as lost people. As lost people. You know, the case was lost. As far as mankind's were concerned, we were all lost. There was no hope. There's no hope. But Jesus himself took the cause when it was given for lost. He said, I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. And notice Jesus' plan. His plan was to save. And there was no other way but his plan. That was through his atoning blood on Calvary. That's the only way mankind can be saved. No other way. He paid the sin debt for you. He paid the sin debt for me. There's no other way. There's no other way. Jesus was willing to do that. He seeks those that are not worth seeking. That was me. He sought Zacchaeus. There in a tree. A publican, a sinner. No doubt a thief, a robber. But he sought him to save him. He sought me to save me. We see that he seeks those sometimes that don't seek him. He seeks those that don't seek him. Sometimes you have visitors come into church that are lost. They don't know why they come. They walk into church. They hear the message of God. God's seeking them. He's seeking them. And they don't even realize it. They don't understand why, what's going on in their heart. And they've been troubled down here, but they don't know what's going on. It's God seeking them. It's God seeking them. Folks, we have a job to do. Thank God for the opportunity, amen, to witness. Thank God for the opportunity to seek somebody, to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we have some good news to tell people, folks. We don't have bad news. We have good news to share with people. May the Lord help us to realize that we need to be doing this through witnessing. Witnessing is so important in our lives as children of God. Have we ever led a person to Christ? Have you ever led a person to Christ? My, I hope you have. If not, we all need to be praying and ask God to help us to do that. Next week, we're going to talk about how to do that. How to witness. How to witness. Now, we know, as Paul says in Romans 10, they're not going to call until, first of all, they what? Believe. Okay? They're not going to call until they believe. They're not going to believe until they what? They hear. They're not going to hear unless there's a what? Witness. Okay? So we've got the sequence here. Call, believe, hear, and witness. Romans 10, verse 13 through 17, we find the plan there for salvation, for witnessing to people, for sharing, for seeking. May the Lord help us. Listen, this week, God's going to give you an opportunity, every one of you. Every one of you is going to get an opportunity this week to talk to somebody about Jesus and what we're going to do with it. What we're going to do with it. We know he wants us to. We're going to need to be praying. Listen, I said last week, we're going to need to pray for one another. You pray for me, we'll pray for one another. That God will give us an opportunity and God will give the Holy Spirit in us the wisdom through him to do what we need to do. Okay? I'm ready to see somebody get saved, aren't you? I'm ready to see somebody walk down this aisle has been saved. I really am. Folks, that's why we're here. That's the purpose of the church. It's to reach the lost in the community and throughout the world, you know. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord will help us. I know that. Like somebody said one time, he was praying, God have compassion on our country. God have compassion on our country. Well, we're praying, God, help me to have compassion. Help me to have compassion on people that I know, people that I don't know. Don't miss it this week now, folks. Listen, somebody's going to give somebody in this room an opportunity to witness. I believe it's going to be more than one. And when it does, let's be ready. Let's be prayed up. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for Jesus, our example, and all that we're supposed to be doing while we're here. And God, I just pray, Lord, you'd help us this week. As we go forth, Lord, give us an opportunity. And Lord, help us to be ready, help us to be prepared, Lord, to do what you would have us to do in sharing the good news with somebody this week. Father, bless now the rest of this service. As we go into the worship service, I pray, God, you will bless the singing. Bless, Lord, the preachers, the preachers. God, give us a heart that's willing to listen, not only willing to listen, but willing to do what you command us and what you want us to do from your word today. And Lord, we're going to thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.